Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
I feel the nations of the earth are shaking. There is no power that can match His grace. Lift up your head, lift up your eyes to see. All of creation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing. He is a light shining in the darkness. He is a hope, hope of all the nations. He is a light, He is a light for all the world to see.
As we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking in the book of Acts. We're in chapter 10, picking up verse 39. We're at Cornelius' house, where Peter has just come from Joppa. He's left Simon the Tanner's house, and the Holy Spirit has led him over to a centurion's, a Roman soldier's house, a Gentile. Can you believe that?
You know, this, I mean, it's a military person.
Oh, my goodness.
Who actually knows about God, and then there's a racial issue going on here, because Jews and Gentiles don't mix. So we've got racial tension. We've got, you know, we're dealing with a military. This is like modern day stuff, like I'm reading the front page.
It really is. And Peter's going to go over, and he's traveling to Cornelius's house. It's pretty interesting. You know, Romans, they had roads, and they had mile markers on the roads. And when we were in Capernaum, we actually saw the mile markers. And they put these mile markers every mile. They had these markers. The Romans, they had this road. It was like the internet of the day,
yeah,
because the roads connected everything. But Jesus said, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile with you, go two, because the Roman soldier could conscript anyone to carry his armor and everything for 1 mile.
Wow.
And so Jesus says, if he asks you to go one, go two.
Go two. So, without worry, nothing, just nothing. Go two.
Just go two.
Yeah.
So here he's, you know, even so, you know, they had this attitude towards the soldiers, yeah, especially Rome. But Jesus had this wonderful grace that was said, if he asked you to go a mile, go two.
Go the extra mile.
The extra mile.
That must be where that came from.
That's exactly
where
it
came from. Go the extra mile.
Yeah. And so here we got Peter, and if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I don't think he would have went half a mile.
He would. Not toward a Gentile's house, because he had to work through his own racism.
Yeah. And so here he is, and he's talking about Jesus, and he says, you know what happened about the preaching and Jesus in Galilee.
Yeah.
And he says, we're witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the tree. So Peter, in verse 39, where we're picking it up, is really giving the testimony of Jesus on how he witnessed throughout all the country through Jews, the Jews in Jerusalem. And they killed him by hanging him on the tree. But God raised him from the dead, and on the third day caused him to be seen. So he's really got the gospel in the network in a nutshell here,
yeah,
doesn't he?
You know, it's exciting. Jesus did just what Peter said, died, you know, hands crucified, but then came back to life. And then Jesus ascends into heaven. But before he goes, he says, listen, I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be my witness, and you're going to tell other people about this. And this truth of the physical bodily resurrection that I've experienced, you've seen me, you've touched my hands, you've looked at the scars. He says, I've literally come back to life. You're going to share that message around the world. And look, 2,000 years, we're still preaching that
same
message.
We're still preaching it. And we're moving into the season, for those of you who are Jewish, Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
And of course, this is really a very important time of the year when we're talking about an atonement made for our sins. And we know that in this particular season, this feast, the high priest is entering into the Holy of Holies. And it's really the only time of the year he goes in. And he goes outside first, and they kill a lamb, and they take the blood, and the high priest brings it in to the Holy of Holies and sprinkles it on the altar, and there is an atonement, a oneness, if you will, a relationship that is restored to God. But then there's another scapegoat, they call him, and they put the hands on him, and all the sins of the people go onto this scapegoat, and they send this scapegoat out into the wilderness,
right,
back into where these sins come from, back into the wilderness of Satan and a satanic influence. And so they're sent back. But Jesus becomes this wonderful high priest. And so he hasn't gone through the whole idea, but I'm sure that being a centurion and being in the country of Israel, he knew all about this, what was done, because this was an amazing time of the year. And here we find that Jesus himself becomes the high priest himself, because he's Jewish. He's of the tribe of Judah, and so he's in the priestly line of Aaron, and he's amazingly fits all the cycles that the Jewish people went through, and so here he's telling them this story, and I'm sure the centurion knew some of this, and he says he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So he gets into the not only that Jesus died for our sins, but the main part is that Jesus is alive and we ate with him and we drank with him. That's kind of an amazing thing when you think about it. I think it must be kind of frightening for some people. It would be kind of frightening for me too.
to have witnessed a person brutally beaten, tortured, and then nailed to a tree, and watch this with your eyes, witness this, and then take him down, wrap his body up, put him in a tomb, and then 3 days later, he's standing before you saying, I'm alive. Here I am. Touch my hands. Look at the scar in my side where the soldier speared me. Look at all that stuff. I am alive. Give me something to eat. You don't believe me? Give me something to eat. Give me something to drink. I'm not a ghost.
Yeah, that's important.
I'm not a spirit.
Right.
I am a living, breathing human being. I have defeated death, hell, and the grave.
And that's pretty amazing. And then Peter says, now we experienced all of this, and then we were also commanded to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as a judge of the living and of the dead. So, you know, one day, whether you know it or not, we're all going to stand before the Lord.
That's right.
And everything that is done in your life, it doesn't matter. Everything it is, if it's not under the blood of Jesus, it's going to be detrimental to you.
Yeah. And Jesus is that one who will be able to make a judgment as to where you spend eternity. So you better be able to have a relationship with him. You understand, and this is why we've been doing this radio program for so many years, to introduce you to the person of Jesus Christ, just like Peter was doing for Cornelius, to introduce them to Christ, because he's the one whom every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Some to receive their welcome into eternity with him, and some will say Jesus Christ is Lord to their own damnation because they never believed.
So it comes down to this one decision, what you do with Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter is saying. He is going to be the judge of the living and the dead. God appointed him this way because he was the one who became the sacrifice. He made atonement. He made the ability of us to have a relationship with God. Because of our sin, we can't be in relationship with a holy God. But because of Christ, he has made an atonement, like I mentioned, make us one with God. Right. And he then gives us the ability to have this relationship to be part of God's kingdom. And so Peter is testifying of this, and he is pointing out the fact that it depends on what you do with Jesus. This particular, it's an event that happened that changed history completely. If you look at history, we go A, D, B, C.
Right.
You know, we change history because of what happened in Christ.
Sure.
And the truth is, when you look at your own personal life, your individual history changes when you accept Jesus Christ.
It certainly does.
There's a flip-flop. There's
just
a complete change. And so that's what Peter is trying to express to this Roman centurion and, of course, all the people that he's invited to come in and listen. And he says, not only am I going to testify this, but all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
It's so exciting to think that from Genesis to Malachi, one of the things that Jesus did after he rose from the dead is he walked with a couple of the disciples and talked with them and opened their eyes up to the Old Testament, that all the scriptures that pointed to him. And here, once again, Peter is saying, listen, you go back and you read the prophets, you read the last half of the Old Testament, and you're going to find that a lot of them, without using his name, Jesus, obviously, but they were pointing to him and the salvation that would come through him.
Yeah, and all those prophets pointed to the Messiah coming,
right,
to Jesus, and what he would do when he came, that he would die for our sins and take our sins upon him.
Amen.
And the interesting thing to me, though, is because when I read that, I remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man, when the rich man was all of a sudden taken to hell, and Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. He's in heaven. And, of course, the rich man is burning in hell, in torment in hell. Yep. And he says, Abraham, could you send Lazarus down here with just dip his finger in the water so I can cool my tongue? And, of course, Abraham says, there's a gap between you. We can't go there. You can't go here. And so the rich man says, well, could you please send somebody back to warn my five
right,
brothers?
Yeah.
Please send them back and warn them that they must escape this place called hell.
Yeah.
And they must, make repentance and make a way so that they can find heaven.
Yeah.
And of course, Abraham says, I can't do that. And then later on, he says, you know, even if you don't believe the prophets, if you don't believe the scriptures, if you don't believe Moses and the prophets and all that's been spoken before, you will not believe even if somebody's raised from the dead.
Right.
Wow.
That line right there is incredible.
Even
to
if
me.
He's raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a lot of people that don't believe.
We sit here, and like we said, this message has been going on for 2,000 years. There were eyewitnesses to this event, and still, there's a person who died and came back to life. Some people still can never believe it.
No, and we ourselves are witnesses because we have the Spirit within our life. When we invited Christ to come in our life, the Holy Spirit comes in, and we are made new creation, and He bears witness with our spirit that we're now children of God. So we've received this. So it's an amazing thing.
Sure, it is.
And so He says the prophets testify about Him, but you may not believe the prophets, you know. Everyone who believes in Him, though, receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Now, that alone, when I see people in our congregation that come in, they sit, and they come and they to an altar, they ask Christ to come into their life, they confess their sins before God, something happens in their life. And sometimes there's a progression. Sanctification or becoming pure and holy, we'll never reach it in this life because we're living in the flesh, but we're striving towards it. I see their lives change. You watch and you see when someone receives forgiveness of sins, something changes. They're no longer bound by the old habits of sin. They are broken free. The chains are gone, and they begin to live through the power of the Spirit. It's pretty exciting to watch it.
It's amazing. You know, I work with the men of Bethany here, and me and another guy, Greg Kretschmer, work with the men of this church. And there are certain individuals here that have gone through an amazing transformation. The way they used to live BC, before Christ, and then they came into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith. They've believed this message that Jesus died for their sins, rose from the dead. And now to see them 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, whatever the case may be, I sat across from a gentleman who's going in for surgery. He's got a diagnosis from the doctor. And I said, how would you have reacted to that before you came to know Christ? He said, I would have been a mess.
Yeah.
He said, I would, but he said, now.
Now my hands are in Jesus.
My life is in it. And he says, I'm as peaceful as can be. And it was just like, even his, I don't want to say his personality changed, but there was a change of personality, I guess, and just how he would act and react. And he says, I'm a different man because of Jesus.
No, we've seen it over and over and over again. We have people that are in hospice and they're excuse me. God bless you.
Amen. There you go. I should say that to you. God bless you.
Well, we've had people in hospice care, and they were dying, and some of our ladies come over and help, and they kind of stay with them. And this one lady who works for hospice, she comes over quite often, obviously, and she says, I just can't believe the peace that's on this individual because they're a solid Christian. She says, I visit this other person, and this other person is so fearful of death. They're screaming and yelling because they feel like the darkness is closing in on them and the devils are trying to get them, and they're beside themselves with panic and fear. And yet this Christian has this wonderful peace in their life because they know where they're going, for one thing, and their sins have been forgiven. So if your sins have been forgiven, then your relationship with God is in good standings, because the sin is what separates us from God.
You know, Jesus, we're talking about his resurrection, his coming back to life. And when he was standing at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, who passed away, he said to one of the sisters, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even though you die, you're going to live. If you live and believe in me, you'll never die. And then he asked the question, do you believe this?
That's it.
Do you believe that I am the resurrection and life? And if you trust in me, and if you believe in me, you will have life. Now, your heart may stop beating and your eyes may close, but listen, the minute your heart stops beating and your eyes close, your eyes are open and you are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because to be absent from this body, the part that makes you you, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, Paul the Apostle wrote. So for us who believe, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah. And of course, he says forgiveness of sins is through his name.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the if you look at life, there's really one name that divides people. There's one name that divides families. There's one name that divides nations.
Right.
And it's not President Trump.
It's not.
It is Jesus Christ. Yeah. His name divides. There'll be people who will not believe, and there'll be people who will believe.
Yeah.
And so this is what Peter is saying. He said, this is the reason why you need to believe. He's the only one who's ever risen from the dead.
Yeah.
But if you believe in him, you also will rise from the dead.
Amen.
I mean, that's amazing when you think about it. He's the first fruits, what God says, of a great harvest that is coming. There's a day that's coming when our bodies will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. There'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more heartache, and there will be a new creation, a new world order, if you will.
Yep.
But it won't be like a world order that's made by man, but it'll be a God order. But the only way you can get in there is to have that relationship with God. And the thing that prevents you from having a relationship with God is sin.
Right.
That's why he says there's forgiveness of sin in one name, the name.
And you must believe.
There's a key.
You must believe. Some people think that they have to do something.
That's true.
Okay, believing. No, that's not hard enough. You know, I have to do something.
You're right.
I hope I have one more good deed than I do bad deeds. And that way I can say, God, you weighed it all out and I have one more good deed. So I get to come into heaven. Well, that's not how it works. But that's how some religions make it sound.
Yeah.
Here, he says, to everyone who believes. And this isn't the only time that phrase is used in the Bible. Read your Bible. And it says, to all who call on his name and believe, they shall be saved. To everyone who believes in his name receives forgiveness of sins. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
That's true. And there are some people that take this probably to the extreme and they go, well, they want a universalism, which means that Jesus forgives sins. He forgives everybody's sin. But you're right. There has to be a repentance. There has to be an acceptance. You have to receive him. You receive the forgiveness of sins in his name. So you come and you ask him. You have not because you ask not.
Right.
So there comes a place where your belief has to have actual faith involved with it. That's your key. Hey, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We hope that you are like Cornelius and you call upon the Lord and bring all your friends to church.
Amen.
Have a great day. God bless you.